There's a wonderful scene in the movie The Right Stuff in which Gordo Cooper reaches a tracking station in Australia's outback from which he's going to monitor John Glenn's first orbital flight. As he pulls up to the station and steps out of his Land Rover, he meets a band of Aborigines camping there. A young man steps forward. Gordo asks him, "Who are you guys?" The Aborigine replies, "We're Aborigines. Who are you?" Gordo says, "I'm an astronaut. I fly up there among the moon and the stars." The young Aborigine replies, "Oh, you too? See that bloke over there?" And he points to a wizened old man sitting under the shadow of an umbrella, his eyes squinting into the distance as if he's staring into a reality others do not see. The young Aborigine explains, "He knows, too. He flies, too. He knows." Later that night, while Glenn is orbiting overhead, sparks flying from his deteriorating heat shield, the Aborigines build a huge bonfire, swing their bull roarers, and waft the sparks from the fire skyward to join, so the movie editing shows it, the sparks from Glenn's capsule. By sympathetic magic, the channeling of hidden energies, the Aborigine magician helps give Glenn strength and aids him on his way. We often mistakenly think that we are very different from our ancient ancestors, with our great knowledge and our amazing technology. But the origins of our knowledge and our technology lie in the minds of men like that old Aborigine. He and all those like him in tribal and ancient societies were accessing the magician energy. And it is the magician energy that drives our own modern civilization. Shamans, medicine men, wizards, witch doctors, brujos, inventors, scientists, doctors, lawyers, technicians, all these are accessing the same masculine energy pattern, no matter what age or culture they live in. The energies of the magician archetype, wherever and whenever we encounter them, are twofold. The magician is the knower, and he is the master of technology. Furthermore, the man who is guided by the power of the magician is able to fulfill these magician functions in part by his use of ritual initiatory process. He is the ritual elder who guides the process of transformation both within and without. The human magician is always an initiate himself, and one of his tasks is to initiate others. But of what is he an initiate? The magician is an initiate of secret and hidden knowledge of all kinds. And this is the important point. All knowledge that takes special training to acquire is the province of the magician energy. The magician is a universal archetype that has operated in the masculine psyche throughout history. It can be accessed today by modern men in their work and in their personal lives. It is thought by some anthropologists that in the very ancient past, the masculine energies of the king, the warrior, the magician, and the lover were once inseparable, and that one man, the chief, manifested all the functions of these archetypes in an holistic way. Since all four of these energies are in the masculine self and balanced there, it may be that the chief was the only one in the tribe who experienced himself as a whole man. Be that as it may, in the Aboriginal societies that still exist today, these masculine energies are already somewhat distinct. There is the king or chief, and there are the chief's warriors, and there is the magician, the holy man, the witch doctor, the shaman. Whatever his title, his specialty is knowing something that others don't know. He knows, for instance, the secrets of the movements of the stars, the phases of the moon, the north-south swings of the sun. He knows when to plant and when to harvest or when the herds will arrive next spring. He can predict the weather. He has knowledge of medicinal herbs and of poisons. He understands the hidden dynamics of the human psyche. and so can manipulate other human beings, for good or ill. He is the one who can effectively bless and curse. He understands the links between the unseen world of the spirits, the divine world, and the world of human beings and of nature. It is to him that people go with their questions, their problems, pains, and diseases of the body and of the mind. He is confessor and priest. He is the one who can think through the issues that are not obvious to other people. He is a seer and a prophet in the sense not only of predicting the future, but also of seeing deeply. This secret knowledge, of course, gives the magician an enormous amount of power. And because he has knowledge of the dynamics of energy flows and patterns in nature, in human individuals and in societies, and among the gods, the deep unconscious forces, he is a master at containing and channeling power. Ours is, we believe, the age of the magician, because it is a technological age. It is an age of the magician, at least in his materialistic concern with understanding and having power over nature. But in terms of non-materialistic, psychological, or spiritual initiatory process, the magician energy seems to be in short supply. We have already noted the absence of ritual elders who can initiate men into the deeper and more mature levels of masculine identity. Ours is an age, as we've said, of personal and gender identity chaos. And chaos is always the result of inadequate accessing of the magician in some vital area of life. Two sciences, subatomic physics and depth psychology, still do the work of the ancient magicians in a holistic way that brings together the material and the psychological sides of the magician energy. Each seeks to know and then to at least partially control the very wellsprings of the same hidden energies the ancients probed so profoundly. Modern subatomic physics, it has been said, looks very much like Eastern mysticism as it approaches the intuited insights of Hinduism and Taoism. This new physics is discovering a micro world beneath our seemingly solid macro world of sense perceptions. In this hidden world beneath the surface of things, reality becomes very strange indeed. Particles and waves, so radically different in their properties in the macro world, in the micro world are the same thing. A particle can appear to be in two separate places at the same time without ever having divided. Matter loses its solidity and seems to be like gathered nodes of energy concentrated in localized spots for more or less brief periods of time. And energy itself seems to arise out of an even more deeply concealed grid-like patterning of the void of space, which can no longer be viewed as nothing. Particles arise from this underlying energy field like waves on the ocean, only to subside or decay again into the nothingness from which they came. Questions arise about time. What is it? What direction is it going? Does it ever reverse? Do certain kinds of subatomic particles travel backward in time and then reverse their direction to move in our time again? What is the origin of the universe and its final fate? In the light of these new discoveries and questions, old questions resurface. What is the nature of being and of non-being? Are there, in fact, the other dimensions that mathematics predicts? In what ways might they be equivalent to what the ancient religions called other planes or worlds? Physicists have entered the realm of truly hidden and secret knowledge, and they are moving in a world of thought that looks very much like the world of the ancient magician. The same is true of depth psychology. Jung, as he was making his first maps of the unconscious, was struck by the similarities between what he was discovering about the energy flows and the archetypal patterns in the human psyche and quantum physics. Jung realized that he had stumbled onto a vast world that modern people had largely neglected, a world of living images and symbols that rose and fell like the waves of energy that seemed to account for our material universe. These archetypal realities, hidden in the deep void of the collective unconscious, seemed to be the building blocks of our thoughts and feelings and of our habitual patterns of behaviors and reactions, our macro world of personality. For Jung, this collective unconscious looked very much like the unseen energy fields of the subatomic physicists. And to Jung, both of these looked a lot like the mysterious underlying pleroma discovered by the Gnostics. The conclusion of both modern physics and depth psychology is that things are not what they seem. What we experience as normal reality about ourselves and nature is only the tip of an iceberg that rises out of an unfathomable abyss. Knowledge of this hidden realm is the province of the magician, and it is through the magician energy that we will come to understand our lives with a degree of profundity not dreamed of for at least 1,000 years of Western history. What does all this mean for us men pursuing our quests for personal happiness and the life enhancement of our loved ones, our companies, our causes, our peoples, our nations, and the world? What functions does the magician energy of the mature masculine perform in our daily lives? The magician energy is the archetype of awareness and of insight, primarily, but also of knowledge of anything that is not immediately apparent or commonsensical. It is the archetype that governs what is called in psychology the observing ego. While it is sometimes assumed in depth psychology that the ego is secondary in importance to the unconscious, the ego is in fact vital to our survival. It is only when it is possessed by, identified with, and inflated by another energy form, an archetype or a complex, which is an archetypal fragment, like the tyrant, for instance, that it malfunctions. Its proper role is to stand back and to observe, to monitor the data coming in from both the outside and the inside, and then, out of its wisdom, to make the necessary life decisions. When the observing ego is aligned with the masculine self along an ego-self axis, it is initiated into the secret wisdom of this self. It is, in one sense, a servant of the masculine self, but in another sense, it is the leader and the channeler of this self's power. It is, then, a vital player in the personality as a whole. The observing ego is detached from the ordinary flow of daily events, feelings, and experiences. The magician archetype, in concert with this observing ego, keeps us insulated from the overwhelming power of the other archetypes. It is the mathematician and the engineer in each of us that regulates the life functions of the psyche as a whole. The magician energy is present in the warrior archetype in the form of his clarity of thinking. Whenever we are faced with what seems like an impossible decision in our daily lives, whenever we make decisions with careful and insightful deliberation, we are accessing the magician. The magician often comes online in a crisis. Often, in difficult situations, people are drawn into some kind of space and time frame that can be called sacred because it is so different from the space and time we normally experience. This sacred space is something men who are guided by the magician know well. These men may actually put themselves into that space deliberately, much like ritual magicians who draw their magic circles and recite their incantations. They enter this space by listening to certain musical pieces, by tending to a hobby, by taking long walks in the woods, by meditating on certain themes and mental pictures, and by many other methods. When they enter this sacred space within, they can be in touch with the magician. They can emerge from the inner space, seeing what they need to do about a problem, and knowing how to do it. We believe that the many ways in which the magician has appeared in history and in which he appears among men today are mere fragments of a once whole image. That primordial magician in men has manifested itself most fully in what anthropologists refer to as the shaman. The shaman, in traditional societies, was the healer, the one who restored life, who found lost souls, and who discovered the hidden causes of misfortune. He was the one who restored wholeness and fullness of being to both individuals and communities. Indeed, the magician energy today still has the same ultimate aim. The magician and the shaman, as his fullest human vessel, aims at fullness of being for all things.